Efcat was born in 1995 in the humid June of a Tallahassee summer. It was meant to give local school districts more control over their own curriculum, with the understanding that now they'd be more accountable for how they spent state money.
It gave me information as a classroom teacher.
Information about what his students already knew and what they still needed to learn, says former elementary school teacher Andy Ford. Today, Ford is president of the Florida Education Association, the umbrella organization for state's teachers' unions. Eventually, he and FEA would become outspoken rivals of FCAT.
Unfortunately, it was used as a political football to be the decision maker for every decision that anybody ever wanted to tie to a test.
At the time, you really felt threatened if you didn't buy into the old FCAT business. It was almost like you were being disloyal.
Relia Cossett-Lent was part of the early chorus of FCAT opponents. When the test started, she was teaching English in Bay County, Florida. She remembers when FCAT test booklets were first delivered to her classroom.
You open them up and it's just horrible, just long, boring passages with all of these multiple choice questions. And so I just took them all and put them in my closet. And my closet in my room was just full from bottom to top of all these test booklets because I didn't use them.
Because of her bad blood with FCAT, Lent went on to become a full-time education consultant and activist. From the beginning, FCAT and its twin, Sunshine State Standards, were inseparable. The standards outlined what Florida school children should know by the end of the year, and FCAT was there to test them on it. The turning point in FCAT's rise to power came in 1999, when Governor Jeb Bush tied the FCAT scores to school grades. In short order, those grades helped determine funding, whether or not a student got to go on to the next grade, and if the state needed to intervene when schools were failing. FCAT's relationship with students was complicated. Ryan Pham graduated in 2008 and is now working in marketing in Atlanta. He didn't love the FCAT, but they did share a moment once in elementary school in Opa-locka over the reading comprehension section.
I love the boxcar kids, and I remember opening the test. I'm using my number two pencil to break the seal and just feeling a sense of excitement about reading this boxcar kids passage.
A couple of years ago, Brian Vaughn, a student at Spruce Creek High School in Port Orange, had been up all night working on an English paper. The next day, he had to take his 10th grade FCAT. He finished early and fell asleep.
An hour and a half later, I woke up to an empty room. Like with my head on the desk and half of the lights were on and the proctor was gone.
Vaughn passed. He's a senior now. But he sees that interaction with FCAT as a metaphor.
We kind of let our students fall asleep in boring environments with high-stakes testing.
FCAT will be survived by a new test, one for the Common Core standards. But that one's not ready yet, which is a huge concern for teachers and superintendents like Miami-Dade's Alberto Carvalho.
With the death of the FCAT, it's almost one of those, you know, I didn't like you, but I miss you almost, because what's about to come, it may not be as clear as what the FCAT was.
Even though FCAT came into this world before he was governor, Jeb Bush is widely viewed as its surrogate father. FCAT ascended to power on his watch. When State Impact Florida spoke to Bush a year and a half ago, it was clear that FCAT was on its way out.
The dreaded FCAT that gives all children acne and makes them nauseous during the testing period. It'll be replaced with a new test that will measure competency based on new standards.
Students and their teachers will be paying their respects to FCAT one last time through May 2nd. FCAT was 19 years old. For State Impact Florida, I'm Sammy Mack.